Sandbox. Sandbox Radio.
The place, Seattle, Washington. The year, 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a local online retailer invents time travel. For the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order. The technology works, but the returns process is thrown into chaos when customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates several tears in the space-time continuum, warping whole neighborhoods and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the 520 Lenden Troll Bridge. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the namby-pamby Anti-Innovation City Council, and you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. When someone makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up, I make it all better. With my trusty quantum bop gun at my side and the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place. And besides, we'd all hate it if things turned out differently. Wouldn't we?
It's time once again for Doc and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. This week's episode, Trial of Destiny, by Elizabeth Heffron.
Who is it?
I know you're still in quarantine from last year's iguana flu, but it's an emergency.
Hey, Molly, where's your mask?
Nobody's masking anymore, Doc. I've been trying to tell you.
Nobody's masking?
And they've stopped doing sourdough and making cocktails. So turn off your oven and put down the shaker. We've got a huge post-flu time continuum problem.
Hey, what are you doing?
Looking for your unitard.
Oh, God, not the unitard. No, no. Not the unitard.
You need to cut through time like butter.
Yeah, but I...
Here, put it on, quick.
I haven't worn this thing in 4 years.
Start with the legs.
Okay.
Whoa, Doc, I think you've gained a little weight.
Oh, God, nonsense, Molly. I'm just a little rusty. There, see? Now, we're back in business. Now, what's the emergency?
It's our old nemesis, Slim Hyman, the anti-tax initiative rustler.
Slim Hyman? I thought the state sued him out of his misery in the early 20s.
Well, they did, but he made a major pivot. He souped up his famous office chair to quantum proportions, and he's riding the time continuum. Word is, he's just landed back in the 1890s in the Tenderloin.
You're not saying he's wallowing around in the lava beds?
Yep, below the deadline.
The red light district? He's on Skid Road?
The very same.
What's Hyman doing down there?
What any tax tightwad does, trying to wreak havoc on our stable tax base. Open your window, Doc.
My window? But what about the flu?
Here, I'll do it.
Jockins, driving you crazy? Try our calming Swedish cream.
Stop that restless leg with bozo drops.
Real Housewives of Mukilteo, Wednesdays at 8. Hot, hot, hot.
Get your lemonade.
Holy cow.
Get some lemonade.
Shut the window. Shut the window. Well, what the heck? What are all those high school kids doing out there with sandwich boards? They ought to be in school.
I'm trying to tell you. Slim Hyman's gone back in time to decimate our public education system.
No.
He's taking aim at one of Seattle's biggest educational benefactors.
Jeff Bezos?
Hardly.
Bill Gates?
No, Lou Gramm.
Lou Gramm? What? You don't mean the infamous and brilliant bordello madam from the 1890s who helped put Seattle on the map?
The very same. When she died, her fortune funded the Seattle school system. Word is, Slim and his office chair gang are wheeling their way to old Seattle right now.
I think I know what they want to muck up. Molly, quick, arm the quantum bop gun.
When and where, Doc?
Seattle's old police court, February 21st, 1891.
You got it.
Of ill repute.
Trial starts today. Court is packed with Seattle's finest.
Well, there you are, Jacob Firth. What a mess.
You could say that again, Yesler.
Well, where's the rest of the establishment?
Denny and Mercer are on the way. Who was the frickin' numbnut that arrested Lou Gramm?
It was me, sir. I might have been that numbnut. I'm just a rookie cop.
You simpering cluck. Don't you know Lou Gramm's sporting house is not a house of ill repute?
It's not, but it's on the deadline?
Well, it is, but no. It's a place, it's a home for politicians and wealthy businessmen.
But also ladies of the night?
More city business gets done there than at City Hall.
Son, the fees and fines Lou Gramm and her cohorts pay single-handedly keep Seattle afloat.
Whoa, I really blew it, huh?
Yes,
you did.
Ah. There she is.
Who, Doc?
Madam Lou Gramm. Yeah, that's her. Arriving in that fancy carriage.
Check out the jewelry and that sealskin shawl.
Uh-huh. Looks like she's got a couple of her seamstresses in tow.
Hello! Hello, my friend.
Hello!
How are you on this fine day?
Just one kiss, Lou.
I'd stop to chat, but Sweet Sue and French Camille and I have some business to attend to inside the courthouse.
Like the powers that be, boy.
Mee-wee.
Doc, the crowd surging into the courtroom.
Uh-huh. Well, quick, let's go grab some seats. Order in court. Order in the court.
Good news, Firth. I see many of our top business leaders in the jury box.
That's because we flooded the jury pool and kept the others out.
Excellent move.
Order!
Hey! Quiet down, you bunch of buzzards. Hey, the judge is trying to talk. Go ahead, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Who is that bull of a man, Doc?
That's J.T. Ronald, 6'3" and all mouth. He's Lou's defense attorney. Oh, they went all out on him. He's the prominent attorney in town.
Lou only comes up to his belt buckle.
All right, the honorable court for the Washington Territory is now in session. Prosecutor, call your first witness.
I call for that witless and unfortunate rookie officer who arrested Lou Gramm, Devin C. Pitts.
That's enough.
Oh, gee.
Raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes?
Officer Pitts, explain to the jury what happened on Valentine's Day last.
Well, the chief had called for a roundup of all the prostitutes.
No, seamstresses!
ladies of the night?
Seamstresses!
Okay, well, we were arresting all the women we saw on the streets below the deadline.
And did you see Miss Lou Graham standing on the street?
Oh, yes, sir. She had just come out of her sporting house. Of course, I didn't realize it was the Lou Graham at the time.
Did you recognize her as a seamstress?
Oh, no, sir. I've never seen her before.
So, you had no idea what her occupation was. Oh. You just arrested her willy-nilly.
We arrested all the women in the Tenderloin. It was a moral sweep.
Arrested for being a woman? Today, 16th century, huh?
All right, now, what type of business is Lou Graham Sporting House?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know?
I guess I assumed.
You guess. You assume.
Objection.
On what grounds does the defense object?
On the grounds that the prosecutor is making my case for me. This is going to be as easy as shooting a turkey behind the outhouse.
Objection sustained. Go ahead, counsel.
So, Officer Pitts, you don't know what type of business Miss Graham is running in her sporting house.
No, I don't.
It's fine dressmaking and billiards.
And if I were to tell you that your direct superior, Officer Minsk, testified that he was not aware that Lou's place was a house of ill fame, would you believe him?
I would now, sir.
Objection.
What is it now?
I have nothing for redirect, Your Honor. The prosecutor has the entire police department on record as not knowing who Lou Graham is or what her establishment does. They never saw nothing. They can't prove anything. That's my case.
So are both the prosecution and the defense resting?
We are, Your Honor.
Doc, look. It's Slim Hyman on that office chair he stole.
That's right, you know. I always wondered what he did with that darn chair.
Attention! This is Slim Hyman, anti-tax hero from the 21st century.
What the heck is he riding in on?
What kind of chair is that?
By the authority vested in me by People's Initiative 69...
69!
And the preemptive prerogative of time travel, I declare Lou Graham guilty as charged. Oh.
You can't do that!
Hear me out. If this bordello proprietress gets off...
Let's all get her off!
I love you all, my friends.
If Lou Graham is exonerated, she will continue to contribute generously to Seattle's welfare.
Especially the school.
This will lead to a high-functioning electorate that will attract more PhDs and other assorted eggheads to our region, which will, in turn, make it a more desirable place to live, thus sending our future taxes through the roof.
Well, what are we supposed to do about that?
Convict Lou Graham!
No!
All right, everybody, just calm down. This building appears to be shaken with all this ruckus. Now, jurors, are you ready to deliberate?
Yes!
You may proceed.
Your Honor, we've come to a consensus.
What, already?
We find the defendant, Miss Lou Graham, not guilty!
A depravity of justice.
We're okay with depravity.
Hey, chair boy, why don't you wheel yourself down to 3rd and Washington and let me and the ladies school you in proper 19th century etiquette?
I don't know, Miss Graham.
Come on.
Well, I guess I got nothing going on back home since that attorney general took me to the cleaners.
Ladies, round up the Poindexter on wheels and roll him down to my sporting house.
You got it, of course.
Oh, this is highly unprofessional.
Court is adjourned.
Well, that just seemed to work itself out this time.
It sure did, Molly. I suppose the cause for public education in Seattle was saved for a little bit longer.
But probably not forever.
No, probably not.
That's why we've got to stay ever vigilant, huh, Doc?
That's right. Say, Molly, I got a hankering to squeeze out of this unitard and make us some sourdough pancakes. What do you say we blow this pop stand?
Quantum bop gun, armed and ready.
2050, here we come. Pandemics, global warming, and all.
This appears in the episode Sandbox Radio Redux, recorded at Town Hall Seattle on September 29th, 2024. Find the full episode with artist credits and the show archive wherever you get your podcasts and at sandboxradio.org.